Before I move on this afternoon, is there anything left over from this morning that is unclear or you want to reflect on more? Yes, please. Okay. Did everybody hear the... okay, so the question is, you know, how to develop the capacity to tolerate the difficulties on that shore that is fearful and, you know, filled with distress and unsafe, in order to tolerate enough in order to get to the other shore. And, you know, the example that was used was quite a personal one, of sitting with, you know, a lot of pain this morning that was getting increasingly more, and then at lunchtime going and taking, you don't mind me, you know, at lunchtime going and taking a pill. And the way that I hear you interpreting that, that was taking the pill was going back to that shore that was unsafe and fearful, and that instead of, that if you'd been able to tolerate it, maybe you would have got to the other shore of nirvana. And I'd be a little bit careful of that. You know, the reason why we've invented Western medicine is that, you know, we have quite enough dukkha on our plate that is non-optional, you know, and, you know, the great blessings of our lives as they are now, which is not true for everybody in the world, is that we actually can alleviate some of that pain that allows us to actually, you know, see where we are. It's so hard to see even where we are when our eyes are blinded by pain. You know, it's like someone who's suffering with depressive relapse. I say, yes, take an antidepressant, because that's going to give you enough resilience to actually be able to see what's going on. So rather than seeing that action as a way of kind of copping out or not developing the resilience needed, I would be careful with that. You know, sometimes that's simply an act of compassion. You know, you're still here, and maybe taking that pill allowed you still to be here, rather than at home in bed in a darkened room. So, you know, contextualize that. You know, and it's not about just toughing it out. You know, it's like, you know, I have practiced in boot camp style trainings, you know, where you tough everything out. And there's a lot of casualties in that. You know, because toughing it out sometimes means actually not listening to the messages of the body or listening to the messages of our life, of actually what needs caring for, to allow us actually still to be here and still to investigate. You know, and I'm a little suspicious of schools of practice that talk about, you know, sort of, you know, cutting through things, you know, the sort of, you know, I mean, I do agree there's a great need for a great deal of persistence and a great deal of commitment, but that doesn't mean developing a sort of hardening to the pain that can be cared for. Okay. Well, remember the hands and feet paddling the raft?
Yeah,
there you go. It wasn't just about, let's just sit on the raft and hope it gets there. You know, it's kind of like, let's engage in this. Let's engage in this journey. You know, the hands and feet are necessary. We just sit on the raft, we may end up way downstream. You know, far afield from where we want to go. And, you know, it is, you know, I was speaking about this last night, you know, these oft-repeated words in the Buddha's teachings around passion and ardency and commitment, you know, and having a sense of direction, you know, really, really committing to there being a sense of direction, and in the following of that sense of direction, to actually use our hands and feet to cultivate what's going to get us there, you know. And I do appreciate, you know, people sometimes, you know, reservations around effort and, you know, reservations around striving, although it's one of the most frequently used words in the early texts. I understand the reservations, but I think it's so easy to sort of swim in a soup of familiarity. And when, you know, meditation is another one of those words I'd really like to consign to the recycle bin, because it's just not an accurate translation of bhavana. which is the word that's totally used to describe what we do here, which is, you know, to bring into being and to cultivate, you know, and it's cultivating in the service of nirvana, you know, and I feel it gets overlooked, the significance of that word, you know, that it's recognizing that in every moment we're actually practicing something. You know, even if we're just sitting on the raft, you know, we're practicing maybe a certain ambivalence. You know? So it's recognizing every moment we are practicing something. And, you know, the great gift of mindfulness is it shows us that we have choices about what we practice. You know, and, you know, I think there is a complete reorientation of perspective that's really revealed in the text that, you know, the Buddha talks about it as the cultivation of the wholesome that releases the unwholesome. It's the cultivation of the skillful that releases the unskillful. The wholesome and the skillful is not a reward for having worked out the unwholesome. It's not the prize for having worked on or worked out the unwholesome. It's actually in the light of the development of the skillful, the wise, the healing, the liberating, that the unskillful and the unhelpful falls away. And I do think that's a big reorientation. And remember what I mentioned earlier, that insights are something we practice. You know, they're not something we have, you know, in the cupboard, and hopefully they're going to pop out and save us in desperate moments. You know, insight's actually something we practice, you know. So if I actually see, for example, that a certain way of speaking is unskillful or unhelpful, you know, I will practice that insight by actually consciously committing to speaking in a more skillful way. You know, if I see that there's a habit pattern of reactivity that is unhelpful, you know, combativeness or, you know, resistance. If I see that that leads to distress, I will consciously commit to actually responding in those moments in a different way. So it's so important that insight is not this sort of, you know, weird thing on a shelf, but it's actually something that we're actually practicing because we know that what we practice, we get better at, you know, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, you know. We know that what we feed will grow, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome. So it's having the discernment, first of all, which is very important, of what is the difference between those two, and that's usually in the outcome, you know. And then actually making that commitment as a practice, you know. I mean, I had a student who told me she committed to practicing wise speech for a year, for example, and she said it changed her life because the whole of the Dharma came into that practice. You know, just that one thing. I'll commit to wise speech for a year. And it was like everything in the teaching came into that practice. You know, what was going on in the mind, what was going on in the body, you know, the understanding of dukkha and the end of dukkha. And she said, that's a practice of insight. You know, that's not complicated, that's not inaccessible. You know, that's something very much at hand for us. One of the materials available, yes, that taking a pill or taking an antidepressant is one of the materials available to you for building your raft. I fully agree. I fully agree. Yeah? Because we can do that without aversion. We can do that as an act of care, you know. And that would be probably the significant difference. You know, am I doing this because I hate this and I want to annihilate this? And of course, on some level we do. But at the same time, I can also see, you know, this would be the most skillful way to actually navigate this moment. As opposed to drowning, yes. Oh, sorry, I didn't catch that last bit. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's actually where I'm going right now, actually. So you're actually introducing the afternoon. So, you know, the reflection was about sort of having, you know, some reactivity and resistance around the discussion of nirvana. Thank you for coming. That was already a sign of commitment and exploration. But because it gets so complicated, you know, it seems to be so complicated in ideas and metaphysics and, you know, where are the living examples, you know. And, you know, are they just in the past? So I think that actually does kind of slide into where I want to go right now. So that's good.